You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello and a very warm welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're looking ahead to Tuesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from midday. Do note the early start time. Darren Owen, Tom Morley and Leona Mayer, the team in the studio. It's Lingfield, Sedgefield and Southwell. We've got jumping at Lingfield and Sedgefield and all weather racing on the fibre sand at Southwell. My name is Mark Walton. Joining me in the studio is Lord John Budden. How are you, John?
I'm very well indeed, Mark, and looking forward to the racing during the rest of the week, and it was pretty good last weekend.
It was pretty good last weekend. We're going to look back at some of that on the Racing Post Monday jury. We've got a very good weekend coming up as well at Newbury and at Newcastle, John. So we've got it's that time of year, isn't it, where every weekend there's another big race.
Absolutely filled with star names, yes, and they're coming thick and fast.
And they are, and we'll just take a little bit of a glance back to start with, using the questions in the Racing Post in their Monday jury. First question is about the Betfair Chase winner. Can Bristol Demay reproduce his Betfair Chase form away from Haydock in the next two legs of the £1 million bonus?
Well, my answer briefly is no. I just think that Bristol Demay is absolutely made for Haydock. He's proved it in the past. He's also proved that Kempton has not been a happy venue for him, and neither to a smaller degree has Cheltenham. It's tempting to go for Bristol Demay to get a second leg of this great £1 million bonus, but I doubt whether he will at Kempton. Mind you, Nigel Tristan Davies was very honest after Haydock. He said that this is a really top-class racehorse, Bristol Demay, and if he doesn't produce his best, it's my fault. I haven't got him right at the time. Even so, I don't think he likes Kempton.
He's just a better horse at Haydock, I think, isn't he? All his best form has come round Haydock. So,
absolutely, Mark, yes.
So yeah, I would agree with that. He's 33-1 to do the National Hunt Triple Crown, by the way, which I'd say is probably about right.
I wouldn't be running to back him 33-1.
No, neither would I. We'll move on to the King George, because that's going to be his next target, isn't it? Mike Bite flopped at Haydock. Can he bounce back in the King George? According to the market, he is still the favourite for the race at Kempton. 3-1 at the top of the betting. Waiting Patiently 9-2. 5-1 Native River. Thistlecrack 8-1. Bristol Demay 8-1. 10-1 Politolog. And Footpad, along with Altior, and 14s or bigger for the rest. Nicky Henderson rather bullishly saying he will be back to his best. No doubt about it kind of thing, that he will be back to his best at Kempton. What do you make of Mike Bite? Because that was disappointing, wasn't it?
Well, it was disappointing, but not that surprising, Mark. I'm definitely yes in the answer to the question. I think he can be got back bouncing at the best of his form. It was an interesting performance. First of all, the decision to go for the race in the first place. Although he did win a smallish race at Sandown first time out last season, generally, Mike Bite is pretty poor first time out. He just doesn't seem to jump with the rhythm that he does later in the season. And that is exactly what happened at Haydock on Saturday. Mind you, there was a very interesting little interview with Mr. Tellwright, clerk of the course, Kirkwood Tellwright, a short one, at the beginning of the programme, in which he said that they had changed the design of the portable fences, that they were thought to be too lenient, and so this time they had gone the other way. And he was clearly a bit nervous. And it was a short interview, but he said that he thought that the new portable fences were significantly harder to jump. Well, they proved that. And there were a number of fallers early on in the chases at Haydock. And later, too, Captain Redbeard at Co. didn't jump at all well. And Mike Bite hit the first two fences And I'd seen Nicky Henderson look at the fences on the far side too, and I think there was a worry on. I didn't think it ran that badly. I was nervous about the race, and I'm sure he can be brought back to Kempton. He looked magnificent, and there's absolutely no reason why he shouldn't go and win the King George. And 3-1, even 7-2 in the odd place, I think is a decent bet.
3-1 might bite then. Decent bet for Lord Budden in the King George, the sixth chase. Aside from those two, who do you fancy to be a major player in the King George?
Most interesting in the betting, and the horse that I've been waiting to reappear is waiting patiently.
Yeah.
I mean, it's at 9-2, I think I heard.
Second favourite, yeah.
Yeah, second favourite. Well, my goodness me, when you consider the Colin Tizard runners in the Betfair who are likely to run in the King George, that's a very, very interesting price. Ruth Jefferson lost three good horses at the end of the season. Oddly enough, owned by Trevor Hemmings, who is not the sort of person who sort of removes horses away from stables without very good reason. It looked so she was in trouble, but she has in fact done extremely well over the past month. Her horses, whatever the standard of them, have been running really well, and she's deliberately waited for this race for waiting patiently, and I think is the horse to watch apart from Might Bite.
Okay, one to watch then. 9-2, interestingly, is so short for the King George. Who else caught your eye this weekend, John?
Politolog, or Logue, I find it very difficult to pronounce the name of the horse. I thought it was very impressive at Ascot, really. Impressive, perhaps that's a bit of a loose word, but he ran well, put it that way, at Ascot. Stayed on strongly when he looked as though he was into a little bit of trouble coming into the straight and having to pick up the leaders. But he did so, and he eventually won well for Sam Twiston Davis. He's always been a good horse, and I was very interested in the interview with John Hales after the race, in which he was obviously very optimistic, delighted with the run, said Politologue would definitely stay 3 miles, and that King George would be a very, very satisfactory race for him to go for. So here's the other horse on the weekend that I thought impressed me.
We've got an interesting-looking fighting fifth coming up if they all stand their ground. Sometimes you see it with a heavily odds-on favourite and not all that much strength in depth. But this year we could see Bouvardaire and Samcro meeting the fighting fifth. John, what do you think of that?
Well, I hope we do, because it's very important that some of these top-class hurdles are, in fact, made more competitive. The ones we've had so far this season, even the ones in Ireland, have been, you know, not competitive enough. So let's hope that Bouvardaire and Samcro both go to Newcastle, and that there are a number of other supporting roles. Of the two, you would have to say that Bouvardaire has got every reason to win. He won this race last year. He's had two champion hurdles. There's no indication that he's regressed in any way. However, I am a tremendous supporter of Sam Crowe. And although some people, and I noticed Ted Walsh, when he was answering questions on the Monday jury, indicated that Newcastle was a quick hurdler's track, I'm not that convinced of the truth of that statement. It's quite a long straight, and Sam Crowe has got a flat galloping track. He's bound to improve enormously from his defeat, and I see absolutely no reason why I shouldn't give Bouvardaire a really good race. So I'm in the Sam Crowe camp myself, and I hope definitely he goes.
Okay, 5-2 versus 4-1 in the champion hurdle betting. Bouvardaire, the 5-2 favourite to win it again. Sam Crowe, 4-1 to win the champion hurdle. It'd be interesting to see where we stand really with Sam Crowe. He's obviously got a big, big reputation. If he can go and live with Bouvardaire, who's the reigning champion, then that proves that he is as good as we think he is, I suppose, doesn't it?
Yes, it's a very important race. Mm. And, you know, that's why I hope they definitely do go, that pair. And Newcastle deserve to have a high-class competitive race for the Fighting Fifth. It's clashed in the last 2 years with a similar race at Haydock. Hasn't seemed to have done that this year. So hopefully it's going to go back right to the top again.
Final question for you, John. Who do you fancy for the Ladbrokes Trophy, what used to be the Hennessy at Newbury? Nice, easy question to finish with.
Yes, I do think Elegant Escape has got a really good chance in this contest.
Yep.
There was a suggestion he was going to come to Carlisle to run in the Colin Parker Memorial. He was, in fact, taken out at the five-day stage, went to Sandown and won really well, staying on strongly up the hill. He had been placed in the Close Brothers Novices Chase last year at the festival, and there's absolutely no reason why he shouldn't go extremely well, in my view, although he is fairly short. Of the others, what you might call the older brigade, I tell you there's a horse that's been doing much better, having flattered only to deceive throughout the last 2 years, and that's the Young Master.
Mm.
It wouldn't surprise me at all to see the Young Master run a really big race in this trophy at Newbury, and he's nicely weighted. He seems to have sorted out his jumping problems, and if he does, he stays every yard of the trip, and he's quite a good price. And, of course, I'm astonished, really, by the number of people who think that Anthony Honeyball's going to win this race with Ms. Parfois. And I'm reading the answers to the various illustrious people in the Monday jury this week. I noted that at least three of them indicated that Anthony Honeyball was going to win with Ms. Parfois. I have my doubts. He's useful, very good, decent up-and-coming horse, but it's very tough going at Newbury. I think you need a tough horse. I think Elegant Escape is tough, and definitely the Young Master, very tough.
Couple of fancies to consider then ahead of the big weekend race at Newbury. That's the Monday jury for another week. We do need to move on. We need to get stuck into Tuesday's action. Lord Budden's gone to Sedgefield for a couple of races for us, the first of which is the 12:20. It's a handicap chase over 2 miles. Field of seven set to go to post for this one. We do have quite a few small fields, don't we, tomorrow, John? What do you like in that 12:20?
Yes, it's rather sort of depressing in a way that the chase fields have been very small in the north overall, except at Carlisle, I have to say. And today, or tomorrow, at Sedgefield, is very much the case. However, 7 rounds go to post here. It's a competitive little race. Going down from the top, the Winks have got a presenting streak. I think that's going to be at a long price, and it'll be a surprise winner. But you would have to say that Roxy Fett, who is the second in the number of runners here at Sedgefield, is definitely in with more than a squeak. Hasn't shown his best form for the last two or three outings, but Mickey Hammond has a habit of producing horses to win these type of races at Sedgefield, and Roxy Fett is very much a course winner, and he could easily bounce back, I thought, in this contest. Hope for Glory. Well, that's an interesting run of Morris Barnes, who has been in pretty good form throughout the autumn. Morris Barnes, the closest trainer to Budden Barnes, is Morris Barnes. Only trains about 3 or 4 miles away. Hope for Glory hasn't run though since the spring of 2017. He was a winner when he did. Let's hope that he goes fairly well. There are one or two others in the race with a definite squeak, but it strikes me that the one who's got a major chance is Fergal O'Brien's Raider, Shows Over. Shows Over has been in action quite recently, ran at Hereford last week, and ran pretty well, was second in that event to Thomas Blossom, and had previously run quite well also before that. I think that Fergal O'Brien's Raiders should be noted very carefully when they come to places like Sedgefield. So although I like Roxy Fett in the race, I'm going to go for Shows Over.
Shows Over, the selection for Lord Budden. You mentioned you like Roxy Fett in there. Mickey Hammond has won this race two of the last three renewals, John, including with Roxy Fett a few years ago. So
yes, dangerous. His horses are coming into a little bit of form too, Mickey Hammond. I think he's a trainer who should watch very carefully at the smaller tracks over the next month or so. Very sad in a way that Finian O'Toole, who rides his horse extremely well, is out with a nasty pelvic injury when he was kicked after a fall about 10 days ago.
Shows Over, the selection for John there at Sedgefield. And the next race we look at, also at Sedgefield, is the 150, which is another handicap chase. This one's a staying handicap chase, 3 1/4 miles Just the four of them line up here, John, and I happen to know that you like one that possibly could be a prize here.
Yeah, yes, I do. There are only four, which is, again, a great pity, because in the five-day declarations, they were really a double-figure number, and the ground doesn't look too bad at Sedgefield. However, we have four. Captain Mowbray is quite interesting. Rebecca Menzies is now in charge of Captain Mowbray, who's been a traveller around a number of race courses, both in Ireland and the UK. Hasn't shown a great deal of form recently, though. Kilfican Bay, well, he's a 10-year-old now, and he's going to be very difficult to beat in this race, I think. Charlie Longstone's runner will have the opportunity for an easy lead, the sort of domination he likes. One would have to say, I think he'll probably start a short-priced favourite, and there's no real reason why he shouldn't go well. Then we've got Dick Darcy, Sue Smith's horse is very much back into form. Vintage Clouds was an excellent winner at Haydock on Saturday, and there have been others too suggesting that Sue Smith has got her horses back in really good form. Dick Darcy hasn't run for some while. Now, the horse that I am interested in is Royal Salute, who is the missing one of the four. Now, he is trained by George Bewley. And George had the virus in his yard. He trains near Appleby. He used to train in Scotland. He's a Cumbrian born, and he's back in Cumbria now for the last sort of 18 months or so. Virus last year. Horses were absolutely out of form until the spring. Not so this year. His small team have been running extremely well. Now, you would say, Royal Salute, how can Budden even suggest this horse will win? Finished fifth out of 11 last time out. It was quite a good handicap chase of the variety at Carlisle, but was beaten, some people would say, out of sight. However, it was a race in which that the evil Ryo Lux took over and completely controlled the contest from about a mile out. The first time he's done it in his career, and he got beat at Market Risen next time out, of course, under a penalty. But on that occasion, he made the race, you know, look silly in that he won by something like 25 lengths, and Royal Salute was struggling behind, but he stayed on quite strongly, and it was a comparatively, compared to this race at Sedgefield, a better contest at Carlisle. So I thought Royal Salute had a definite squeak as the outsider of the party.
Royal Salute, then, the selection for Lord Budden in that 150 at Sedgefield to go along with his pick in the 12:20. Show's over. Thank you very much, John. Been a pleasure as always. Very best of luck, and enjoy the action on Tuesday.
Thank you very much, Mark.
There you go, the thoughts of Lord Budden on Tuesday's racing. Then you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from midday, a high noon start with Darren Owen, Tom Morley and Leona Mayer in the studio. Lingfield, Sedgefield and Southwell are the three meetings. Do join them for that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.